This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace, when he said, "Those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back." Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
You government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. So welcome to the show. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. And if you've probably been following along, the President of the United States, number 41, George Bush, has passed away. We learned this just yesterday that he has passed away at age 94, and all the tributes and normal salutations are going on. President Donald Trump has sent out an aircraft, Air Force One, of course, to pick up the body and fly it into Washington, D.C., where I suspect that he's going to be put in the Capitol in the rotunda. And people will honor him by coming to the rotunda and viewing him, the casket. I don't know. It won't be open, but I don't know about those details yet. But we do have that going on right now, and this is the big drama. And, yes, it is a Sunday morning, believe it or not, that we're up here broadcasting and getting everything to you right away. We got a special presentation coming up here in a second. Northwest Liberty News just did a nice and early interview of myself, and we talked about the Paradise Fire, and we talked about the new California state movement. And that's going to be coming up, that content, pretty soon here. But first, I wanted to kind of get you up to date on what really is truly going on in our own little world that we see right now. And, of course, the big deal that is happening is a couple of different things. If you haven't been keeping up on what is going on in Paris, there's a tax revolt going on, and it's really started to turn violent. Sort of the Parisian way, I guess. It's interesting. Paris burning, tax revolt burns violent. And that's what that's done the drudge right now. This is the start of a revolution. Paris rioters steal police assault rifle, torch dozens of cars, and vow to stay in the streets until Christmas as fuel protests continue into the night and spread across France and even Holland. Yellow Vest supporters stage fresh protest on the Champs-Élysées, which leads to the Arc de Triomphe. They vow to continue rioting until Christmas after riot police use tear gas and water cannon to fight back. Dozens of cars are torched. French President Emmanuel Macron promised the protesters will be held responsible for their acts, and it comes a week after rioters brought chaos to Paris in a movement against fuel prices and high living costs. The center of Paris was on lockdown tonight after masked protesters stole an assault rifle. This is not good. This is not good. Anyway, President Macron has promised the protesters will be held responsible and that it's left dozens injured. And so Macron said he is holding an emergency government meeting Sunday on the protest. He spoke from the G20 summit being held in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That's where he's at right now with Donald J. Trump. Yeah, so they're just torching the place, and it looks a lot like probably a lot of Muslims protesting. They're calling it the Yellow Vest protest going on. That's what they're calling it. Gee, I wonder what could possibly go wrong with France or any other part of Europe when all of a sudden you bring in 15 million foreign invaders. That's what happened when all these people were brought in, right? And allowed to come into their countries under the auspices of being, of course, immigrants, illegal foreign nationals, into their country. 15 million of them into Europe as a whole. And, of course, we're starting to see this all play out here in California because there's a lot of stuff going on down at the border, which we'll get into in a little bit. Okay, so anyway, Macron has got an issue going on there in the president and everybody else's meeting at the G20 summit down in Argentina. Okay. So some other things that are pretty important. Blink 90-day halt to new tariffs with China. Trade gap widens most since 2015. Record deficit with China. Trump's on-off dance with complicated acquaintances. Tense G20. This is what we're going on here. Tense G20. So the tense G20 is presenting a few things. It's kind of interesting. This is the article that came out of, where did this come from? Oh, AFP. It says, the United States and China on Saturday announced a ceasefire in their tariffs war hours after President Donald Trump upended another international forum by snubbing G20 action on trade disputes and climate change. Good for him. Over a dinner, climate change, right? Well, yeah, I think, you know, listen, how's climate change working out for California? How is that, huh? How is that? Let's talk about paradise, huh? Over dinner of steaks and Argentine wine in Buenos Aires, of course, Trump doesn't drink. Trump and President Xi Jinping brokered a truce to ensure that for now there will be no further escalation of their tit-for-tat imposition of tariffs on goods worth hundreds of billions of dollars. Trump withdrew his threat to raise the U.S. tariffs even more on January 1st in return for a promise from China to buy more U.S. goods and enter into a 90-day period of talks to resolve their differences. Those include market access for U.S. companies and protecting their intellectual property from theft by Chinese rivals. Then absent agreement. In that time, tariffs now set at 10% will be raised to 25%, according to White House statement. It doesn't make China happy. This was an amazing and productive meeting with unlimited possibilities for both the United States and China, Trump said in the statement, released as he flew home from a stormy trip spent accosting his fellow leaders at the world's preeminent economic forum. China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, told reporters in Buenos Aires it is conducive not only to the development of the two countries and the well-being of the Chinese and American people, but also to stable growth and the world economy. The Sino-U.S. trade war sparked warnings to the G20 of the cost of the global economy if it continued unabated, not long before the Trump-Xi Jinping dinner. The annual summit concluded in the Argentine capital with a watered-down statement. The G20 communique was finally adopted after all-night haggling by negotiators, ensured that the summit in crisis hit Argentina at least finished with a joint platform, unlike recent G7 and Asia-Pacific summits. Credibility question. The statement also admitted pledges by the G20 to fight protectionism and uphold multilateral trading programs, which used to be a mainstay of the world's leading economies pre-Trump. Pre-Trump. So as one economist told me yesterday, actually, as going into this whole Xi Jinping meeting, America has already won. And it seems like America is winning at G20 also. Pre-Trump agreements being just blown out of the water because of Donald Trump. I hate it when this happens. Winning. Anyway, we got a break coming up. When we come back from the break, we're going to be rolling in our little interview that I just had with Jim White. And we talk about paradise. Paradise found, as I say, and also the new California state movement. So stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news, and also newcaliforniastate.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented my pillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
My pillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee my pillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-319-2547 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-319-2547. Again, that's 800-319-2547.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our websites, agenda21radio.news or a21r.com, a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. We're going to be making another incursion into the areas of Chico, California, and helping out some of the people there. So please go to newcaliforniastate.com and press on the GoFundMe page. GoFundMe and... then you'll be able to donate. Please, we're accepting donations. The money goes directly to the fire victims, and we'll be going up there probably, I suspect, in about another week. In fact, I'm going up there this afternoon to reconnoiter possibilities. So anyway, we're going to be listening to right now an interview I did this on a Sunday morning with Jim White of Northwest Liberty News, and it's all about Paradise, California, the fire, the things that are going on there. And also, it's going to be a lot about New California. So it's a sort of a 50-50 deal. Here we go.
Hi, this is James White from Northwest Liberty News. And thanks so much for joining me today. It is the second day of December, 2018. I have on the line with me someone that I know I've been teasing that I'll be speaking with here for a while. We've had a hard time getting together. We're both certainly extremely busy. I'm talking about Paul Preston. Paul Preston and I have been friends for quite a few years now, 4 or 5 years, interviewed each other numerous times on each other's radio broadcast. He hosts Agenda 21 Radio, and I think he was named one of the top 50 broadcasters. Was it the galaxy or the universe, Paul? I wasn't sure. Is it in America, right? You're one of the top 50 broadcasters, I think, in America.
Digital, right, digital.
Digital, that's great, great. And I'm so delighted to have you here on the broadcast today, Agenda 21 Radio. Or agenda21radio.com, correct? That's
right.
Still your website.
Right.
Right. Paul Preston, thanks so much for joining us here on Northwest Liberty News.
It's great to be here. Finally back again.
Back again. You know, Paul, we've probably done this, a dozen times, and I really enjoy it every single time. You know, I wanted to have you on here because you did post some very compelling videos that I watched. I mean, you were literally standing on the burned-out soil of Paradise, California there.
That's correct,
You know, I know you had. It looks like you had a stack of passes on your around your neck. So I know you probably had to go through some sort of a vetting process,
correct,
or something even to get down there. But I encourage people to go to your YouTube channel, which is probably also Agenda 21 Radio. I don't remember off the top of my head.
We changed our name to a21r.com just to make it easier on people, and also you can go to agenda21radio.news. So there's two ways, but I always take the shortcut, a21r.com.
Well, there you go. There you go, a21r.com. And you can see some of those very compelling videos. So, Paul, let's talk about that. You know, I want to talk about some of the other things you have going on, as you can see in the background, the New California Movement and others. But I want to talk a little bit, if I can, about those fires, because they were just, to use the term devastating, probably doesn't fully really grasp the amount of damage and loss of life and loss of homes and businesses. Tell us, if you can, just your visceral reaction from being there on the ground. What's your thoughts about this recent fire here that just burned Paradise pretty much to the ground?
Well, it's devastating. It's a war zone. I mean, you hear people describe it, but you know, you see the videos, and the videos don't tell the whole story. In fact, it's really so overwhelming. It's unbelievable. It is utter devastation. It's like a nuclear bomb went off. A lot of people would describe it. The temperatures, people are starting to speculate about the temperatures that were actually in play that morning, anywhere from between 2,000 to 4,000 degrees. Now, that's pretty. That's a hot fire. Most forest fires, my understanding is, the forest people have told me, burn around 1,700 max. So to have something burn so very, very hot and intense is certainly out of the norm. And it's certainly out of a norm for normal forest fires. And again, this was not a normal forest fire, as are the California fires in general. They're not normal. And they're very, very abnormal. You know, you've heard the president really, which is, I think, one of his better moments as a president, coming out here and chastising and really taking Brown down, and also taking down the whole environmental movement for their, you know, their belief that building up the forest floor with all the duff and debris that comes with a forest naturally and allowing it to build up over 30 years is a good idea. Well, we saw a very bad idea exercised in, the course, the Paradise Fire, the so-called Camp Fire. And he chastised them and said, you know, you haven't basically cleaned the forest floor. And so this is not climate change. This is mismanagement. You know, this is not global warming. This is straight up mismanagement.
Well, you know, there's something else going on besides that, Paul, because to have steel melt, it has to be pretty hot, as you stated, between 2 and 4,000 degrees. And I've also seen video where, and I think we spoke about this when we talked 10 days or so ago, where they'll be like, you know, in a neighborhood, like in a subdivision, there'll be a street after street after street after street after street. And on some streets, there'll be two houses burned out, but no other houses on there will be burned out. And then you go over another street, and then three houses will be burned out, but not next to each other. Maybe, you know, a burnout, three houses, another one burned out, and so on and so forth. But none of the surrounding houses have been burned out, and a lot of the greenery surrounding that have not been burned out either. Now, I heard some speculation. The way that they were able to pull that off was via smart meters. Now, I don't have any evidence that that is what, you know, that they reversed, let's say, the energy on the smart meter and ignited the house. It's a theory. I don't know how we ever find that out. But what's your thoughts on that, Paul, where it seems to be that there was selective burning going on and certain things were burned out and other things surrounding that were not burned out? It didn't seem to act like a typical fire. Can you comment on that?
Well, it wasn't a typical fire, and it's still all a big mystery, even how the fire started. PG&E has stepped up and accepted responsibility. We're not too sure it's their fault. In fact, I would venture to say, from everything I understand and what happened to me that morning, because what happened to me that morning is I got a heads up that there was a fire a little before 6 o'clock. I go on the air live 6 to 9 on Red State Talk Radio for my radio show, and just a few minutes before 6, I was getting a heads up that there was a fire in Pulga Gap. Now, I know that Pulga Gap region, and Pulga in particular, I used to drive that road, Highway 70, all the time. And a couple of my students started a fire down there, so I was involved with an investigation at one point in that area. But it was the fire started. PG&E is claiming that it was their wires, but we don't really have any evidence of that. 15 minutes to 20 minutes later, the fire started racing up the hill, and they're responding by way of the fire department. We just learned last night at our conference at a town hall in Butte County that the fire right next to Paradise is Chico, the town of Chico, and they've got a huge air base out there. It's a World War II bomber base, and that's where a lot of these airplanes take off to suppress fire. It's a fire base, actually. And at the time, they had pilots that were willing and able to take off and suppress the fire before it even got to the top of the ridge, because what happened was the fire raced up the top 2,000 feet to a ridge, and from the ridge, the wind was carrying embers across quite a large valley and right into the town of Paradise. So within about 15 minutes, you started to have literally the town of Paradise being bombarded by large embers, wind blown by about a 50-mile-an-hour wind across quite a valley and into Paradise itself. And that's how the fire really started to go after that. Those embers started to catch all the plants and all the dry material on the floor of the forest there. And the town itself is embedded in a forest region. You just can't escape that. And then it just raged from there. And, of course, over the course of several hours, it was burning from house to house, building to building, hopscotching around, and it really kind of flashed. It was not a crowning fire on a forest, and I think Jim and our audience probably in the rural areas understand what I'm talking about here. The fire did not get to the top of the trees except in a few areas up in Magalia and so on. But it did. It was basically a forest floor type of fire. And so everything started to be consumed in that forest floor. And quite frankly, because of the patterns here in California and also the federal government, none of the forest really has been managed properly, where you've gotten rid of all that forest debris and everything. And management, even in and around houses, was not real stellar, in my opinion. Paradise was really a town and a city that was had a lot of native vegetation on the forest floor to begin with, and people incorporated a lot of that in their own landscaping of their homes, much to the detriment here. But it doesn't explain why the temperatures were so hot, and it doesn't explain why, yes, why so many houses were excluded in areas that were burned, seemed to suffer from areas that weren't burned, even in and around it. It was very interesting. I spent, been up there 5 times. I'm going up this afternoon. It'll make a 6th time. I want to see. We had a big, huge rainstorm come through here and cause flooding and so on in the area. So I want to go up and see what damage has been done today. But the fires raging so hot became sort of a chaparral fire on the ground. And that's what really set a lot of fires off. And homes that, it's interesting, Jim, homes that had defensible space around it, for the most part, they survived. But what we did notice about the homes that survived seemed to be spec homes, homes that were just being built, and these spec homes didn't have power to them. Now, all the other homes...
Or smart meters, like I spoke earlier, right? I mean, I'm just saying,
They had smart meters, but they didn't have power to the smart meters.
Right.
Because they were being built, or they were spec homes. There's one home that doesn't have anything but the plywood siding on it, and it's open to the elements, and the fire burned right up to it, didn't touch it, but it didn't have any power to it either. You know, we had homes that we found one home that we investigated standing tall, and it looked like whoever lived in the home disconnected the smart meter. I just shouldn't out the guy, but that's what happened. And homes that did have the regular analog meter seemed to survive. So we noticed that phenomena in the Santa Rosa fire, that you had these homes that didn't have smart meters and they survived. A friend of mine, her home survived. In fact, it's the weirdest thing. You go driving up to her house, which is in the foothills there in Santa Rosa, and all these homes are burned down except hers. And she's the only one of all those homes, you know, dozens of homes that didn't have a smart meter. She survived. She should have heard the home right next to her burned down. The home down the road, all of them burned down except for hers. So the other part of it, too, that was of special note is the high intensity of the flame. And we have, I'll tell you, every home that caught on fire, that really just burned to nothing. Ashes, just really ashes. And I've been in fires before, and I've been up in fires when I was living up in that area, actually. And I've never seen anything that's damaged anything so badly as what I've seen here. It's literally like a nuclear bomb went off. Everything's kind of vaporized. And that's that, of course, is concerned. How did it get so hot is the big question.
Well, you know, Paul, I'm going to throw something out to you here that has been widely speculated on numerous YouTube videos and articles, directed energy weapons. When I say that term, directed energy weapons, you know, what does that mean to you? What do you think about that? Do you think there's something to that?
I think that people have to take a strong look at that. I really do. I've not been one to discount it because of the connection between smart meters and perhaps the location of targets, target acquisition, and then the use of microwaves. We are researching it. There's a lot of people that have started to research it, taking a real scientific look at what has happened, and people have been up there scouring the properties and so on like that. When I say scouring, just for research and pictures and things like that. So there's a lot of speculation in my world right now. We saw this phenomenon, of course, at Santa Rosa like crazy. I'll tell you, Jim, Santa Rosa in the homes that are around there did not have the same type of plant light like you had at the different altitude, because I think Paradise is like 3,500 feet, and Santa Rosa is probably maybe 500 feet. So the vegetation is a lot different. But the selectiveness really stuck out in Santa Rosa about what buildings were being burned out and which ones weren't. But the other thing, too, is the strangest phenomenon to go into those communities in Santa Rosa and even to many of them up here and see houses that have been completely reduced to ash. And then right next to the house, the plants that were right next to the house are still alive and fine. And so are the plastic tubs and everything else. And it's just the eeriest thing. But this house after house, you know, neighborhood after neighborhood burned to the ground. And then by selective, what we'd call targeting, I guess that's the only thing you could say. And I believe that there's a combination of smart meter. If there's these things are real tools of the weapons of war, laser weapons. Raytheon has some very, very stunning videos out that show you what many people are speculating as targeting laser programs that are currently in service right now. We know of targeting laser programs that are in service that are flying right now actively over Korea. We know that that's the case.
You know what just popped in my head, Paul? A couple of years back, didn't they go around to everybody's address and get all their GPS coordinates of everybody's? This was a big, I know in the Liberty Movement, this was something that was a big deal 6-7 years ago, where they would go around and they would do GPS coordinates of everybody's residence. I wonder if any of this ties in. You know, I don't know. I say it's just speculation.
Well, my understanding, if you have a smart meter, you give it up right there. And so if you're in, if you're targeting, you can use the smart meter as a target device to target in on. And, of course, then microwave weaponry. There's speculation that the microwaves were used. They used the wiring inside the houses after getting the target acquisition to microwave the inside of the house and burn it at a very high temperature. That's the speculation that's out there right now. And you know, I can't say the evidence does not support it, because I think you have to, when you take a look at the burn and a lot of the selectiveness, it's very much there. Now, there's a lot of areas that have burned what I would say in a proper forest fire fashion, but the intensity of the heat is off the hook. I mean, off the hook. I mean, everybody can see that melted metals. It was interesting. Somebody was making a comment about we didn't find any refrigerators in the homes. They're burned, gone. Maybe some motors, you know, the motors that you'd find in the refrigerator for the cooling and so on. But nothing, just gone, vaporized.
Well, you know, let's transition a little bit here to right behind you there. You have the new California flag. Now, if I remember correctly, Paul, from our conversation previously, wasn't Paradise sort of the headquarters, or didn't most of the meetings for the new California movement, wasn't that like the central location there on Paradise? I don't know. Again, there's no coincidences, right? You know, it makes you wonder. I'm sure that the powers that be are not really very happy with the new California, and now, as we're going to go into, the new Nevada movement, and now the new Illinois movement. So this is picking up steam across the country, and I'm sure the powers that be are probably none too pleased with that. So do you think it's any coincidence, Paul, and we can discuss this, that the headquarters for the new California movement is Paradise, that has now basically been reduced to rubble? You care to comment on that?
Well, much of that is absolutely accurate. Butte County has been one of the central players in the new California state movement, as well as Sutter County and Southern California, Orange County. They have been playing absolute huge roles in Butte County. Like, we just had another town hall, very well attended last night. I spoke last night for about 3 hours. And that people are not deterred. We had a lot of the fire victims, people who had been burned out of their houses and their business. I mean, it just drives you to tears to listen to these stories. Luckily, we all of our Butte County members of New California have survived, and we had to track them down and trace them and all that stuff. But yes, Paradise, we had numerous town hall meetings in Paradise, and people opened up their homes to have the town hall to talk about New California and all that good stuff. It was very compelling. In fact, one of the places, I think in one of the videos that I did, was one of the residences that was burned out. But you know, we did the video there at her house, and she had never seen what her house looked like. But it is an odd coincidence there's always these odd coincidences that develop. And yeah, they're not happy. The powers that be are not happy with the prospect of a new California here in California with the Jerry Brown folks. We take it on quite literally and attack them through our grievances, which is the proper place to do it as we form a new state. So no, there's a lot of people unhappy about the changing dynamics of the nation, actually, because New California, and we know with New Nevada, as you said, coming on board, and now we also have New Illinois. These are movements that are not stopping, and we will eventually form new states. The whole union is going to change completely.
Yeah, tell us if you can here, and we just jump right into the New California movement and others without really giving any background to people out there that may not be familiar with it. If you can, give us the cliff notes, Paul, on the New California and, you know, the new movement across the country. What does that entail, and what are the goals of the New California movement and others?
Well, New California started out because you just take a look at the state. It's a wreck. It's a failed state. California right now, currently, from a government standpoint, all the way across the board, from the locals to the county to the state, is a failed government system. We've seen the collapse of Republican form of government. We are seeing an invasion of our state, and we're seeing a situation where criminals are just running supreme. In fact, the criminalization has been legalized in California because of this overbearance of the legislature that meets 11 months out of the year and can pass any kind of law it wants at will, anytime, any day. Of course, the governor goes along with it willingly. We have a one-party system. We no longer have a two-party system or a three-party system or third or fourth parties. We only have one-party system in the legislature. So we have a dictatorship. So our Republican form of government is completely gone. So all elements of the guarantee clause of the Constitution don't exist in any way, shape, or form. And of course, you heard with what happened with the situation in Orange County, the ballots and all that stuff, the provisional ballots that were used. This is a scam that's been going on for years. We've been talking about it on a radio show. You may remember when Bernie Sanders was running against Hillary Clinton out here. This was one of the most notable ones. And everybody and their mother wanted Bernie Sanders to win. I mean, I'm not a Bernie Sanders guy. I'm sure you know that. And he's running in a primary against Hillary Clinton. And I happened to be driving at that time on several occasions down from Northern California into San Diego County. And it's just like every time you pulled off on the side of the road at that time, you saw Bernie Sanders supporters out there with signs. I mean, it was the most unbelievable thing. And then, of course, Bernie Sanders loses overwhelmingly. Well, we all predicted that Bernie Sanders would lose overwhelmingly because of the provisional ballot situation, which we know to be a complete corruption of California's electoral system. And then, of course, you saw what happened with Donald Trump, and you saw what happened with Hillary Clinton. There's no way that Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump in California on a popular vote. But all these provisional ballots, remember, in California, it's the Joseph Stalin mentality. It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. And that's what you just saw. You saw 16 days of additional counting of ballots in Orange County. 300 additional ballots just sort of rolled in after the election. I mean, it's just open corruption. And that's why, you know, for us in New California, it's a failed state. We've declared that. And we declared our independence on January 15th of this year, the first time any state has ever declared independence since, I believe, 1861 from a pre-existing state. So the last time we're exercising right now what's known as Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, which is that we can form a state from a pre-existing state with the consent of the legislature and the Congress concerned. So we are in that process right now, and the first part that you do is always declare your independence. So we've declared our independence. And now we're moving forward on the next phases. We've had two constitutional conventions. We're going to have a third one in January. And then what we're going to do is we're going to make our move towards the legislature, which is the process that you have to follow. The Constitution is very, very clear that we work only with the legislature. And a lot of people don't understand, like you saw the Jefferson movement, which I started with, by the way. I was on the leadership group of the Jefferson movement back in the day, And I realized they were not moving forward with a new state. That was the last thing on their concern, was to move forward with a new state. So what they've done now is they have they tried a lawsuit. The lawsuit just the other day was thrown out again by the district judge, and they're going to appeal to the Ninth Circuit, and good luck on that one. That's not going to happen. But the other part of it is that what they've done is they kind of they've got a phony state movement going on, and that I couldn't be a part of that. So that's why we formed New California a year and a half ago as a movement, and it really has now picked up steam. We declared the independence. We've had the two constitutional conventions, and we've got about 50 – well, we got 52 counties that are either part or whole involved of the 58 counties right now. We've got a flag down in those areas. So we're moving away from – the urbanized areas of California. That's really our goal. We're going to be about 85% of California's land mass, and that's all the rural areas of California, all the rural areas. Now, this is really important for people to understand, versus the urban. So the city centers around Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento, that's what's going to be left of the utopia that these people desire. And then we're going to be, of course, all the rest of it. So we'll be about 18 million people when it's done. There'll be about 21 million people. And we anticipate this is going to take about less than 2 years at this point, maybe 18 months.
Well, you know, Paul, I wanted you, and you can certainly correct me if I'm mistaken, but everybody, you know, everybody pokes fun at California, and California is broken in a lot of ways. But I don't think people really realize how many conservatives, right, constitution-loving, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, Bill of Rights, gun-loving people there are in California. And, you know, a lot of these policies and a lot of these decisions that come out, this does not represent, like you just stated, the majority of the people of California.
Well,
go ahead.
And that's Reynolds versus Sims. This is that court decision from 1964 that did away with senators, state senators in California, representing the interests of counties. They now represent the interests of populations. And what happened in Reynolds versus Sims, that they got away from the federal model. Our federal constitution and our model for representation is that when you have people to represent, you have House of Representatives. And when you have other than the people plus other things, you have senators. It's really kind of logical. And what our founding fathers did was they gave the Senate and they gave the House of Representatives equal power. They have equal power. But the senators represent the states concerned. And that's why every state has two senators. Two senators represents not just the population in general, but also the assets of the state, the boundaries of the state, the elements of the state, the business, the commerce, all the things, the taxation, all that stuff is who they represent. And that's a bundle for every state. Every state is uniquely different, just like in California or just like in every state. Every county is uniquely different. And so what the House of Representatives and what the Senate represent is a power-sharing thing. The House of Representatives can pass things on behalf of the people, and the Senate is more deliberative, and they've got to consider when a bill comes to them, okay, what are the other elements? How is this going to affect business and commerce and health and welfare and all these other things, judiciary, all this stuff? How are the bill? And if it doesn't meet muster, they can vote this bill down. So there's a balance of power there. Now, if you take and put all these people together in one place as representing people, you don't have a representative government there. You don't have republicanism there. You have a mass mob, and it's called a democracy. Democracy really is dictatorship, and the founding fathers knew that. That's why if you take a look in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, or if you take a look in the Bill of Rights, you will not find the word democracy because it means dictatorship. You know, we talk about this.
Well, it's like it's the old saying, it's like two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner.
That's right.
Right?
That's
exactly, you know, that's going to end up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, that's mob rule. You know, you need to have not a democracy, but, and that's why back in the day, I made this point the other night, or last night actually, that 150 years ago, everybody was basically in school. Some of the things you learned, it's memory, as for memorization purposes, was the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. People just had to learn it, recite it. I mean, I can remember in elementary school learning the Constitution and learning about the Declaration, and of course, many other things about government. That's how you did it. You just memorize it. You read it. You know, you read it and you had to recite it. People used to do that all the time. And what people used to refer to as a republic then, they refer to today as a democracy. You hear this all the time. They switch the words. It's a clever wordsmithing switch. But the left conveniently, and the media in particular, use the word democracy when we are not supposed to be a democracy. But they want democracy because they want a dictatorship. So, you know, all these commentators, they just, you know, it just really ticks me off when they talk about, you hear it on TV all the time, it's good for the democracy, good for the democracy. This is for our democracy. No, we don't want a dictatorship, and that's what we have here in California. It's straight up dictatorship.
Well, Paul, for the sake of brevity, let's wind it down a little bit here towards the end of the interview. Give us, if you can, where people can find out more about the new California movement and the new Nevada movement, the new Illinois movement, and what if someone, you know, in your state, the people that are listening, watching this video, the state that they're in, what if they want to spark a new California movement, right, type movement in their state? What tools do they need? Where can they go? Do you guys have anything set up like that already on your website for new states that want to get going? I'm sure you probably have all that taken care of. Go ahead. Let us know, Paul, where people can go to find out more about the new California movement and then where they can hear about your radio broadcast and what you
have
going. Sure.
You can go to newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com, and peruse what we have there. You can see our maps. You can see all the things that we've been doing. You can kind of follow along. And this is what has happened to people around the nation have seen it. We have other states in play, and I can't mention them right now, but that have also picked up an interest in this, and we've had conferences with them, and they're starting to put their pieces down. Just recently, Nevada came out. Nevada is planning on declaring their own independence January 15th of 2019, so that's something to look for. We also know that New Illinois, but our website has a ton of stuff on. You can get the basics and fundamentals about what we're doing. Follow that. And people, there's an 800 number that's associated with that. It's an 877-828-2753, 877-828-2753 that people can call and get information from us here at New California State. We are probably, Jim, we don't have one up right now, but we're going to put up a banner. If you want to start a new state, start here. That'll be a banner that'll show up on the New California one, maybe as early as this afternoon. We're just getting a lot of requests for that now because people realize that what we're doing here is actually breaking the back of the progressive elements in the nation. And we're bringing back the anti Reynolds versus Sims movement, and that's an important thing to do because we're getting away from that democracy back to republicanism. And our state movement will be the first one to do that, and there's a lot of reasons why that'll happen. But we're following the West Virginia model. That's another key element to understand. And you can hear me talk on my radio show, Agenda 21 Radio, and that's a21r.com, a21r.com. You can hear me every morning from 6 a.m. Pacific to 9 a.m. Pacific, and that's on Red State Talk Radio. So redstatetalkradio.com will get you all the information. Well, you see the players right there, so you can listen to me. I talk about New California and Agenda 21, of course, exclusively. We've been very, very fortunate and blessed with Red State Talk Radio because it's a national provider. The studios from which we broadcast are here in California, but it goes by satellite, of course, to Washington, D.C., and that's where the signal emanates from.
Well, folks, as I was saying previously, I encourage you to listen to Paul. He has been voted one of the top 50 electronic broadcasters in America, and I don't think you'll be disappointed if you tune into his broadcast. Every day, right, Paul? You go every day, correct?
Monday through Friday is live, and then the replays, of course. It replays two additional times during the day, so you can hear it that way. And also, we have several stations that pick us up, and I just don't know who they are.
Anything you wanted to say, Paul, before we let you go? Anything that you didn't get a chance to speak about or anything you wanted to get across to the folks?
Yeah, we're still struggling out here, at least the survivors of the campfire, big time. This is just 50,000 people displaced. A lot of people are still living in tents, and we're going to go ahead. We started a GoFundMe page, so if you go to newcaliforniastate.com, there's a GoFundMe button That money goes directly to any money that's raised goes directly to the fire victims. We did put together an emergency response team out of New California. We showed up in the Walmart parking lot and distributed about $2,500 in cash cards that were donated to New California. And then we distributed blankets and all the basic needs that people needed. And we still have a need for that right now, that people are still living out in the elements. It's absolutely devastating to see this because California did not respond. I mean, it's just amazing. What they did do, California and Jerry Brown, to add insult to injury to all this, he put together a bill very quickly before the legislature closed, and they put together a bill allocating $15 million of California taxpayer money to go to the legal defense fund of the illegal foreign nationals coming across the border.
I saw that.
Insult to injury. That's Paul, why New California is here.
Paul, it's the closest thing to a communist country, you know, on U.S. soil that I can think of. I mean, it's. But you know, there's a lot of great people, and I know a lot of good people in California. You being one of them, and many others that are not just going to sit idly by and let the communist cabal take over. I mean, I know they've got a good foothold, but I think you know, as always happens, typically the good guys are a little bit slow in reacting. But once they do, and once they get together, you know, I think that we're going to vanquish this evil in California and across the country. Paul Preston, I really so much appreciate you joining me here. And one more time, that's A21R.com, correct? Isn't that abbreviated version? And A21R.com. Go ahead.
A21R.com and also NewCaliforniaState.com. And that's the GoFundMe button.
And I encourage everybody to go to NorthwestLibertyNews.com to get daily updates on my videos and news around the country. And appreciate you joining me here today. And for my guest, Paul Preston, I want to say thank you. Until next time, this is James White from Northwest Liberty News saying bye now.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. This has been a special presentation on a Sunday. Anyway, on a Sunday. And special presentation, of course, brought to you by, well, all of us here in New California. NewCaliforniaState.com is the website to go to check it out. We've got a ton of things going on. Go to the GoFundMe portion of that because we have, again, a ton of things that are happening. We definitely need to help out those people. The disaster of the disaster is happening now. The disaster relief disaster is happening, in which FEMA doesn't really have its act together. Certainly the Red Cross doesn't have its act together. And clearly, the State of California Office of Emergency Service has no act together whatsoever. it's pretty obvious what's going on, and people down there in Paradise, they get it. They get it. They're going to push back. But I'll tell you what, Paradise is going to rise again. It says, I know a lot of people say, oh, we don't want to rebuild. Stand your ground, guys. We're going to stand our ground. We're going to make sure that the relief gets to where it's supposed to go. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And that's the shortcut. The other one, of course, is NewCaliforniaState.com, NewCaliforniaState.com. Get involved with New California. We're going to be breaking it out big time, going after things. You'll see what happens. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong and stand your ground, New California. Stand your ground.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.